We are glad to make all of our JCast Network podcasts free for our listeners. However, they are not free to produce and host. Please consider making a donation to JCast Network to help support our work by visiting jcastnetwork.org/donate. Thanks for your
support. והגלות מהצרה אמר אמר רבנו נחמן כי בשמחה שצאיו.
Welcome to the Jewish Hour. I've got a great show for you today. In this half hour of the show, we'll be doing a rebroadcast with Ray Shigalov, who wrote a book called Talking to God, Insights into Setting Up a Real Relationship with the Almighty. It's always a good thing. We've got lots and lots of really good music for you this week. The portion of the week is the portion of Pinchas, can be found on chapter 25, verse 10 and following. We have a pretty amazing story. Yeah, one of those eye-opener types at the end of the show. Stay all the way to the end. Before we do anything else, let's go right to the news. Six Palestinians were arrested as they attempted to bring weapons and explosives into Israel. The group planned to carry out terrorist attacks in Jerusalem. Indian Prime Minister Narendra Modi visited Israel on his way to the G20 summit in Germany. This marks the first time that an Indian Prime Minister has visited in Israel since both of them achieved their independence from Britain in 1948. Modi met with Prime Minister Netanyahu, who showed Modi the latest desalination plants in Israel. Modi met with CEOs and defense contractors, and he also met with 8-year-old Moshe Holzberg, survivor of the Mumbai massacre in the Chabad house over there in India. IDF Lieutenant David Golovenichich was killed during an exercise in Hebron. Golovenichich was playing the role of a terrorist when one of the soldiers fired his pistol at him, believing that the pistol was empty. UNESCO, the United Nations Education, Scientific, and Cultural Organization, proved its worthlessness once again as it passed a secret ballot calling Hebron an endangered heritage site in Palestine, despite protests by Israel and Jewish groups. Aaron Ryman, an Orthodox Jewish professional mixed martial arts fighter, was fatally shot in his South Florida home. Several men broke into his home in West Boca Raton. The men reportedly argued with Ryman and shot him before driving away. And finally, Scotland's prison system is investigating why 13% of its prisoners are on the kosher meal plan, while only 4 prisoners in the entire system are Jewish. Obviously, the kosher meals are edible, while the rest of the prisoners get, well, prison food. And that's the news.
Some of the best jobs in the world are in the radio and television industry, and you too can join the workforce in as little as 8 months when you complete your hands-on training at the Specs Howard School of Broadcast Arts located in Southfield, Michigan. At Specs Howard School, students get to play and learn at the same time. Imagine spending your class time behind the microphone, spinning music and hosting your own radio show, or designing and lighting a set for your own TV program, running a camera, learning to edit, directing a program. When you go to Specs, your day will be anything but dull. And if school is this fun, imagine how exciting it is to work in the growing industry. In addition, the credits you earn while attending Specs Howard School are currently accepted at 14 area colleges and universities. If you've always wanted the best job in the world, call for a tour of Specs Howard School at 248-358-9000. That's 248-358-9000, or visit them on the web at specshoward.edu. Specs Howard School of Broadcast Arts. This is where you start.
Herschel Finman, you are listening to the Jewish Hour. We have online Ray Shigalov, who has written a book called The Secret Art of Talking to God, 30-Day Creative Prayer Journal of Jewish Meditation. How are you today, Ray?
Thank God. Baruch Hashem. Doing really well. How are you?
Good. Thank God. Thank you for asking. Okay, so you've written a book, and basically, I would describe this book as putting meditative thoughts on paper, which is a pretty fantastic idea. But before, let me ask you a couple backup questions before we get into the book. First of all, meditation, Judaism. Do the two go together? People don't talk about Jewish meditation so much.
Yeah, surprisingly, it's very uncommon. And for me, it was so important. It was so important, in fact, that it caused me to leave Judaism for a number of years because I just couldn't find it. And when I did, I was so surprised. And, it took a long time. It wasn't until I started learning Hasidus that I discovered this amazing tradition of Jewish meditation. Very profound, mm-hmm. and in some ways very simple.
Okay. Talk about the profundity. Talk about the simplicity, please, Ray.
Well, my book, The Secret Art of Talking to God, really focuses on the most simple Jewish meditation, but also the most complex. You know, if you've ever watched Fiddler on the Roof and seen Tevye the Milkman talking to Hashem all through the day, that is actually a very profound meditation, the art of talking to God. And it seems very simple, you know, just talk to Hashem, say your thoughts. But in steps the Yetzer Hara, that part of us, that self-defeating part of us that gets in the way and tries to keep that from happening because it's so powerful. Because really, one of the most powerful things we can do, most important things we can do, is to create a close and loving relationship with God. And everything gets in the way of that, all the busyness of the day, all the things we have to do, the things we do for our family, making a livelihood, shopping, the internet, everything gets in the way of those few precious minutes that we might spend in prayer or in meditation, which is really preparation for prayer.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that's the simple. What about some profundity, maybe?
Well, the profundity is in the simple.
In other words, what I'm asking is, what grabbed you? That you were looking elsewhere for meditation, and finally you said, oh, I have it right here in my own backyard.
You know, that reminds me of a story, the story of Yankel the tailor. You know, one night he had a dream, and his dream was that if he went to a bridge in the next village where there was a soldier on top and dug under that bridge, he would find a great treasure. So he did. He walked over to that village, and he started digging, and the soldier looked down at him and said, what are you doing? And he said, I had a dream last night that if I dug here, I would find a treasure. And the soldier said, foolish man, I also had a dream. I had a dream that if I went back to the home of Yankel the tailor and dug behind his stove, I would find a treasure there. Do you think I'm going to do that? So Yankel went back to his house, and he dug behind his stove, and sure enough, there was the treasure. So I went into every religion I could find and looked at all the different meditation practices, but nothing fit. They were just sort of odd. You know, it's a lot about emptying your mind or focusing on a meaningless statement. And then when I discovered, you know, that Jewish meditation practice is really about connecting to God, that's when it really fit my Jewish soul.
Okay, cool. Now, so you have a God-given talent. You're an artist, a very exceptional artist. How did you think of putting down meditation, which is a very inward thing? When you're meditating about self and lack of self. When you're drawing, it's like expressing self. So it's like two different things. One's inward, one's outward. So how did you come to put the two together?
Well, when I started to make my way back into Judaism and started taking Torah classes, I realized this was something I really wanted to remember and to be able to share. And in college, I would take notes and doodle around the margins. And then when I was finished, I threw away all the notes and kept all the doodles. So as I began taking notes, I decided to just do it in calligraphy. I had already mastered the art of calligraphy. And so I just started taking notes in this beautiful style. And people would come over and go, wow. And they'd read it, and they'd learn it along with me. So I have now, by the grace of God, I have more than 3,000 pages from more than 1,000 classes over the last 20 years of the most extraordinary teachers of our time. And these are my source notes from going to classes, trying to relearn, really understand what Judaism is, from people who teach from the teachings of the Lubavitcher Rebbe, from Rabbi Frant, from Rebbetzin Heller and Rebbetzin Youngeris, really from hundreds of different of our world Jewish leaders.
Okay.
And so, a lot of them began to speak about this. My primary teacher for this particular form of meditation is Rabbi Yochanan Tauber, who is a Dayan in Los Angeles.
Okay. So now, it's very hard to really understand what it is that you're trying to do. Could you explain, say, page one of your book?
Not the title page,
or like that it has an ISBN number, the first number of like the actual book itself.
I'm not sure exactly which one, but would you like to start with a meditation?
That's what I'm saying. Yes, exactly.
How simple it can be.
Yes, I want our listening audience to understand what it is that you're trying to focus on, because with the shortcomings of radio is we can't see what you're talking about, so you have to be very descriptive.
Okay. So, part of my background is that I'm a children's librarian. And, you know, after years and years of handling these wonderful picture books that give a very big, important message in a short, colorful space, that's how I created this book. You know, so each meditation, it's designed as a 30-day meditation book, so that each day you have a meditation prompt in beautiful calligraphy. You can put it up and focus on it. And then you have a meditation or conversation starter with God. And then there's a creative journal prompt so that you can record the insights that you receive from the meditation in these colorful graphic organizers.
Okay.
And you will receive a lot of insights. So this first meditation, I call it an instant connection to God. I'm really about instant inspiration in our busy times. So to do this, it's very, very simple. You can do it anywhere. You can do it anytime. And it's just a fabulous way to get rid of your stress, any anger, negative thoughts, anxiety that you might have, and to really connect to Hashem instantly. And you do it through the breath. So it's very, very simple. You know, in Bereishis it says that Hashem blew the breath of life into us. And that didn't just happen once and it's over, but it's happening with every single breath we take. With every breath we take, Hashem is showing his love and trust that we're going to fulfill our purpose for which he created us. So when you breathe in, just right now, you could just focus on your breath and try to take a little bit of a deeper breath than you normally do. And when you breathe in and you take that deep breath in, just imagine that Hashem, that God, is breathing that breath of life into you, because that's the reality of what's really happening right now. God is breathing the breath of life into you. And when you breathe out any negativity that you have. If you're anxious, just breathe that anxiety out. Blow it away.
Okay.
So when you breathe in, again, you keep increasing your connection. Hashem is loving you and breathing that breath of life into you, and you breathe out your anger, your stress, your anxiety, all gone.
Okay, now, so what are you using as a focal point from your book? If you could describe what we're looking at for this meditation, Reshar.
So for each of these meditations, I've written or taken a Torah thought from my 30 sketchbooks, you know, from all of those Torah notes, and layered it with some of my watercolors so that you have a single thought to focus on for the day or for that meditation.
So you've written the verse, Vayipach ba'apav nishmas chayim, God breathed into him a soul of life, and then augmented that through your artistic prowess.
In some cases, yes. You know, this. In some cases, it's just encouragement, like never give up. No matter how many times you've tried and failed, begin anew now, and now, and now, and now.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a combination of encouragement, keep going, because trying, you know, creating a consistent meditation practice is really difficult, because everything will get in the way to try to stop you, because it's so important. So it's a way to say, okay, this is my program for the next 30 days. Each day you have a little bit of a different focus and a way to really bring it into your daily life, you know, because that's the key. It's not just that you're going on a mountaintop and connecting to God, but you're then bringing that into your daily life with your interactions, with your family, with your boss, with that driver in front of you who's being really annoying.
Mm-hmm. Understood. If you're just tuning in, we're talking with Ray Shigalov, who's the author of a really cool book called The Secret Art of Talking to God, 30-Day Creative Prayer Journal of Jewish Meditation. What would you say would be the age appropriateness of this type of meditation relating to God, Ray?
I thought it would be primarily from teenagers on up to adults, but I found that my own students enjoy it. I work at Emek Hebrew Academy in Los Angeles, and families were buying it to do together as a family because it's done. I've written it in a very simple way, and it's so colorful and just inviting and creative.
Mm-hmm. So have you actually like incorporated this into your curriculum in your daily classroom?
I have not incorporated the meditations per se, but the concept of connecting to Hashem all the time from pre-first to eighth grade, who are my students, you know, we're always looking for the divine providence and the way that Hashem is taking care of us through our stories, through our research, through everything that we do.
Mm-hmm. Understood. How's the book been received, Ray?
People love it. You know, it's so unusual. There's nothing like this in Jewish publishing. And it's just, you know, another problem that we have is the suppression of our creativity. That's a lot of what my work is about as a creativity coach. You know, people have sort of forgotten that creativity muscle, and this really invites you to not just write your thoughts, but to draw them, doodle them, dance them, sing them, you know, to experience your joy of your connection with Hashem in all different ways.
Okay, I want to interject. That's a really an interesting segue to the next thing. Creativity coach. I've heard of, say, life coaches, or people who have, like, problems, like, finding themselves getting organized, and they have these people that are certified life coaches. What would a creativity coach do?
So my work as a creativity coach is to really help people figure things out and to do it in ways that circumvent logic and the intellectual brain, which is very limited, and to tap much more into the infinite nature that we have and that we are. And there are ways to do that. You know, Hashem created us in his image as creative beings. And a lot of times that is just squeezed out of us through the whole long educational process because the focus is on the left brain, not on the right brain. So I just help people tap into those special talents that they have, the ones that God gave us to do our work with pleasure, and to bring those out, to bring more energy into your day, to nourish you, to nurture your family, and just to bring delight to the very serious work that we have of creating this world as a dwelling place for God.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I know me, for example. And when it comes to like artistic creativity, I was traumatized by art teachers from the time I was in kindergarten. My kindergarten
teacher. You are not alone.
My kindergarten teacher said that she thought my finger painting was ugly. I mean, it's just like.
Oh, no.
Yes. This was like, you know, because, well, I didn't think it was so good myself, but being at 5 years old, because I was looking at this little girl down the other end of the room, and she had like finger painted this really cool picture. It looked like just like a quarter with George Washington and everything. And I had this like mess. But anyway, from there it went to like my every ensuing art teacher up until ninth grade, which is the last time I had to take art. And by 10th grade, I was like relieved. I don't need to take art. So I was deeply traumatized. My wife, who is an art teacher, has said that, and she's taught everybody. She sat me down and she said, okay, so I want you to envision a duck and draw a duck. So I drew a duck and it had four legs and it would look really cute. But then she kind of like laughed. And I said, why are you laughing at my picture? And she said, ducks have two legs. So, I mean, this is like, what can be done with someone who's like, you know, a creative cripple, as the case may be, Ray Shigalov?
Well, you know, that's a really great question. And you totally underestimate yourself, because we look at creativity in a very broad way. creativity is not just about being an artist. Look at you. You are an artist on the radio. You know, I've listened to your shows, and they're wonderful. You drill so deep with people, and you cover such interesting topics, and you do it in such a lively way. That's your creativity.
Okay. Can I meditate on that?
Absolutely.
Give me a for example now. And I'm getting really personal. The 40,000 people that are listening are going to see what's going on over here. So I'm meditating. I want to get closer to God. I have a radio show, The Jewish Hour, and I just naturally have this way of talking. And God gave me this very resolute voice. And so how does that get me closer to God when I'm, say, I'm in a stressful situation?
Well, you know, getting closer to God through this form of meditation, of talking to Hashem, you know, the first step is that you're getting yourself alone with Hashem. You're making an appointment just like you made an appointment with me to speak here. And you're speaking with Hashem, you know. A creative way, a creative exercise for you to do in your meditation would be to interview Hashem as if it was a radio show. What would Hashem be saying to you? What questions would you have for Hashem? And then, you know, have that sort of fun, lively, interactive meditation. And when you're done, record it, draw it, speak it, and see what insights you get from that.
Matt, you're reminding me of a story. I once heard a story. There was a rabbi who was the chief rabbi of Tehran. For about 70 years, he was well into his hundreds when he passed away. And people would ask, of course, somebody's that old, they always ask, so how do you live so long? Yeah. So he responded, I never asked God why, because I was always afraid he would say, oh, you want to know? Come, I'll tell you.
So that's true. You know, and Chassidus teaches us, if you want to be a happy person, don't ask God why, ask God what.
Okay.
What can I do about this? What can I do to make this better, to bring more light out of the darkness?
Okay. Now, you've got a great interactive website. It's called holysparks.com, and I urge all of our listeners and everybody, if you're not listening, you could go to that. Tell us about the website and what you're doing with your website specifically. It's not just a vehicle for selling books.
Right. So the website, this version of the website is actually quite new, but my intent is to bring out, to really help people like you were turned off from your creativity when you were small, you know, to really tap into what are our talents as the Jewish people, because we are so close to the time that Mashiach is going to be revealed. The way to decrease the anti-Semitism and the violence and to bring in, usher in that great era of peace peacefully is to tap into our talents, bring out that new energy, and use it to enrich our world and do acts of kindness and really refine ourselves. So I'm building out this website as a portal for instant inspiration, first of all, because we all need to be inspired, and a place where you can just really take some time out and have a mini-retreat and just explore who you are, what are your talents, how can you serve God, and do it really delightfully. I just recently started a series of 15-second videos. And when I talk instant inspiration, I'm really talking instant inspiration, where I'm actually writing out some of these thoughts. You can watch my hand that's sped up and see some of this incredible treasure of Jewish wisdom that we have that I've been collecting in my notebooks over the last 20 years. I don't want to keep them under the ground behind Yankov's stove. You know, I want to bring it out so that other people like me don't realize what an incredibly rich spiritual heritage that we have as Jews, that we can access it and utilize it to come closer to Hashem and to bring out our creativity, to delight ourselves and the people around us in whatever way that is for us, and then to really prepare the world to be a dwelling place for God. Mm-hmm. And I prepared for all of your listeners a free sample of this book, The Secret Art of Talking to God. They can go to holysparks.com, and up in the menu, you can click on the free link and actually download a sample that you can try out. And if you like it, you can order the book on Amazon.
That's awesome. Okay, I notice also Concerning meditation and what we refer, we've been talking about Jewish meditation. Many of the listeners of the Jewish Hour are not Jewish. So how does this relate to them, Reg Shatov?
Well, you know, I have a lot of followers on Facebook and Instagram and Twitter, people who contact me who are not Jewish. In fact, I think I have probably more buyers of the book who are not Jewish than who are even Jewish. And a lot of them just really, there's something about what they're doing in their own religion that just isn't a good fit for them. And they want to know what is authentic from Torah and how does it apply to them. So I have on my website a place where you can learn a little bit about the seven special mitzvahs for people who are not Jewish. And, you know, especially with this book, The Secret Art of Talking to God, one of those seven mitzvahs is prayer, is connecting to God. And so it's really very universal for everyone.
Indeed. That's going to wrap us up. Give us the website again, please, Ray.
It's holysparks.com. Mm-hmm. And that's HOLYSPARKS.com, holysparks.com. And then click on that free link to get your free sample of The Secret Art of Talking to God.
Okay, terrific.
Be sure to connect, people can connect with me on Facebook, on Instagram. I love to have interaction. I'm starting a new group called Nurture Your Jewish Soul, especially for Jewish women to really get clear about who they are, what they want to do, and have some support in accomplishing that.
Okay, so one final question. Okay, so let's say I've gone through the 30 meditations. What do I do now?
So some people tell me that they use one of the meditations for an entire month. You know, it's kind of a selection. So you can start the whole cycle again. You can create your own way of doing it. Basically, what you're doing is you're secluding yourself with God, with the master of the universe, and getting in touch with your own soul and the infinite nature of who you are. And what you do in that space is infinite. There's no end to it.
That's awesome.
You can just enjoy the process.
Okay, that's terrific. I want to thank you so much. Again, our guest has been Ray Shigalov, who has written a book which is available on Amazon. It's Talking to God.
The Secret Art of Talking to God.
The Secret Art. Well, I went off the webpage, so I had 1 second. I'm waiting for my computer to reboot. Yes, no.
It's The Secret Art of Talking to God, 30-Day Creative Prayer Journal of Jewish Meditation.
Okay, there it is. And if you just want to get it on Amazon, you don't have to type all that. You can just type in The Secret Art of Talking to God. Thank you so much, Ray, for coming on, and you've been a big inspiration.
Thank you very much. Bracha v'hatzlacha with all of your important work. It's been really a pleasure talking to you, and I so enjoy listening to your shows.
Thank you, thank you. Okay, we're going to take a quick commercial break, and we'll be right back. You're listening to The Jewish Hour. Why go to a hospital to get healthy? At Encompass Healthcare, you get the state-of-the-art wound care like in a hospital. The same medicines, the same everything without being in a hospital. Why put yourself at risk of getting a hospital-borne infection? Did you know that last year, 1 in 6 people died in America because of infections they got in hospitals? Encompass Healthcare is an outpatient facility. That means you get your wound care treatment and then go home. There are no wait times at Encompass Healthcare like in ERs. Healthcare is personal and works better, faster, and easier. Encompass Healthcare provides a state-of-the-art outpatient facility close to where you live. Call 248-624-9800. That's 624-9800. Auto accident, workman's comp, and most insurance is accepted. Encompass Healthcare's goal is to get you healthy with as little disturbance to your daily activities. Call 248-624-9800.
Schulfinman here. You are listening to The Jewish Hour. Up next, it's Barry Weber. Just recently came out with a new song. This is called Rabbi Shimon.
Oh, Shimon ben Yechui oy maez. Levi Shimon ben Yechui oy maez. Chas, chas, chas v'shulem shetishtakach toiru. Toiru, toiru me Yisru aez.
Assurance of quality and excellence in kosher? Look for the Michigan K on the label. What's it look like? The Lower Peninsula of Michigan with a K. It's the symbol of the Michigan Kosher Supervisors. Go to their website, mikosup.com. That's M-I for Michigan, K-O for kosher, and S-U-P for supervisors, mikosup.com, and find this month's featured products. You'll find Michigan K products wherever fine food is sold, especially at Natural Food Patch on West 9 Mile Road in Ferndale.
Herschel Feminine, here you are listening to the Jewish Hour. Up next, this is Daniel Hoffman. The song is called Violin Without a Case. Schlitzman here again. You're listening to the Jewish Hour. That was Daniel Hoffman, Violin Without a Case. Up next, this is quite unusual. We dug this out way down from the depths of the Jewish Hour Music Archive. This is simply called Iraqi Jewish Music, and the group is called the Iraqi Jewish Music Ensemble.
Schwarzen Kämmach zu. A Jingele, was hat schon alle Zeindala, muss noch die Mame singen, ay Lulu. A Jingele, was hat schon alle Zeindala, muss noch die Mame singen, ay Lulu. A Jingele, was hat schon alle Zeindala und wird mit Masel bald in Cheder gehen und lernen Wetter, Chumisch und Gemore, soll weinen, wenn die Mame wiegt ihm ein und lernen Wetter, Chumisch und Gemore. Soll weinen, wenn die Mame wiegt ihm ein. Ein Jingele, was lernen wird gemore,
und steht der Tate gefällt und hört sich zu. Ein Ingele, was wächst der Tal mit Hochem, was ganze Nacht der Mame nicht zu ruh. Ein Ingele, was wächst der Tal mit Hochem, was ganze Nacht der Mame nicht zu ruh. Ein Ingele, was wächst der Tal mit Hochem, und nagenit zeucher euch zugleich. Ein Ingele, ha kluger Chosn Bocher, so liegen a so in as wehen a Teich. Ein Ingele, ha kluger Chosn Bocher, so liegen a so in as wehen a Teich. Derweil ich so in Wiegele bei mir. Es wird kosten noch viel mir und Mames Tränen, bis wann ins Wetter Mensch weiß von dir. Es wird kosten noch viel mir und Mames Tränen, bis wann ins Wetter Mensch weiß von dir.
Why go to a hospital to get healthy? At Encompass Healthcare, you get the state-of-the-art wound care like in a hospital. The same medicines, the same everything without being in a hospital. Why put yourself at risk of getting a hospital-borne infection? Did you know that last year, 1 in 6 people died in America because of infections they got in hospitals? Encompass Healthcare is an outpatient facility. That means you get your wound care treatment and then go home. There are no wait times at Encompass Healthcare like in ERs. Healthcare is personal and works better, faster, and easier. Encompass Healthcare provides a state-of-the-art outpatient facility close to where you live. Call 248-624-9800. That's 624-9800. Auto accident, workman's comp, and most insurance is accepted. Encompass Healthcare's goal is to get you healthy with as little disturbance to your daily activities. Call 248-624-9800.
Herschel Finman here. You are listening to the Jewish Hour. The portion of the week is the portion of Pinchas to be found in Numbers 25, verse 10 and following. The question is, there's not many portions that are actually named after a person. There's 5, actually. So who was Pinchas? And why did he merit to have a portion named after him? They could have named the portion anything. We know that the portions are named after the first important word in the portion, but why does his name have to be the first important word in the portion? In last week's portion, the Jews were enticed to idolatry by the Moabite women. And Pinchas was able to stave the plague by killing a prince, prince of the tribe of Simon, whose name was Zimri, and the Midianite princess, whose name was Cozbi. Pinchas was not a Kohen, which I'm saying lots of people are not Kohanim, not priests, but his grandfather was a priest, his father was a priest. He was excluded because the Almighty had told Aaron that you and your children and their children born after them will all be dedicated to the priesthood. Pinchas had already been born.
Now, it says that in the Zohar, Pinchas zu Eliyahu. Who is Pinchas? Pinchas is Elijah. We don't have any story about Pinchas dying. We don't even have any story about Elijah dying. He went to heaven on a fiery chariot, according to the Bible. But Pinchas took over as high priest after his father Eliezer passed away. And he was the high priest, I'm not sure as the years, for many years during the era of what we call the Judges. He was like the go-to guy. And then suddenly he disappeared. I guess he got tired of being a high priest. And suddenly Elijah appears on the scene in the middle of the book of Kings. What's the significance of saying this? And it's like, you know, one of those lines that you hear from old comedians that so-and-so is really so-and-so because you never saw the two of them in a room. Like you could say, for example, that I'm George Washington because you never saw me and George Washington in the same room together. But that would be a totally ridiculous thing. Here, Pinchas was a person who had self-sacrifice and dedication for the ideals and morals of Judaism. In other words, the Almighty made it such. When he said, he could have just said that, Aaron, anybody who is a descendant of yours gets to be a part of the priesthood. But he didn't. That's not what he did. What he did was he told them that Pinchas is specifically going to be excluded. Pinchas had to earn. He was the only person in the world possible that he could earn the priesthood, and he even earned being the high priest, the big kahuna, as the case may be. Where is this all for us? What are we supposed to do with all this? Like I say, I used to have a teacher who said, you could stand on your head and spit nickels. It's not going to happen. You're not going to be a priest if you're not born a kohen, if you're not born one. But we can take a lesson from Pinchas, that the big deal, what was it that found Pinchas to have this merit that he should be not only a priest, but have a portion named after him, is there was something going on that was wrong, very wrong. And Pinchas was the only person who stood up. Everybody else was either saying, yeah, it's not wrong, or I don't know if this is wrong. He was the only one who stood up in the face of adversity, people yelling at him, no, you can't do that. And he did what was needed to be done. The second paragraph of the Code of Jewish Law says, do not be embarrassed by people who laugh at you. Here it is. There are things that need to be done. And if you're the person who needs to do it, so then you be like Pinchas. As the Almighty says, Pinchas was jealous for my jealousy. He did what I would have done, but he did it. And I suppose the rest, except for Cosby and Zimri, everybody lived happily ever after. We're going to take a quick commercial break, and we'll be right back. Don't go away. You're listening to The Jewish Hour.
Hi, this is Spex Howard. The Spex Howard School of Media Arts is proud to have been a sponsor of The Jewish Hour and bring quality radio programming to the community. While much of the funding comes from its sponsors, listeners like you help keep The Jewish Hour on the air. Please send your tax-deductible donation to The Jewish Hour, 1725 Pinecrest Drive, Ferndale, Michigan, 48220. That's 1725 Pinecrest Drive, Ferndale, Michigan, 48220. Your help is greatly appreciated. Thank you very much.
Herschel Finman here. You are listening to The Jewish Hour. Want to get in touch with me? Easiest way? Go to my website, rabbifinman.com. Right on the homepage, contact us. We contact you. Everybody lives happily ever after. You'll also find archived editions of the show. About over 2.5 years of shows back there. I just looked this morning, as a matter of fact. And they're all back there, and you can listen to them. You'll also find archived editions of the E-Parsha, U-Parsha, Hasidic U-Story, ways in which yours truly conveys Judaism in an hopefully entertaining and educational way. And we'll also find the very important donation page. Baruch Hashem, thank God. May, done. Now all we have is June and July.
People came through. It was an amazing week. Go to the rabbifinman.com. Go to rabbifinman.com. Go to the Nations page. You're listening. You want to do it. We know you want to do it because you want to listen. If you want to listen, the air, we have to pay. So if we have to pay and you want to listen, so guess who gets to pay? It's true that advertisers do pay some, but the majority has always been listeners like you. So rabbifinman.com, your donation. You can make it a monthly donation so you don't even have to think about it anymore. Don't like internet giving? Well, drop your donation of any amount in an envelope and send it to The Jewish Hour, 1725 Pinecrest Drive, Ferndale, Michigan, 48220. We're going to do something now as far as the story goes, something which I have not done in 21 years. Somebody was sitting in a restaurant yesterday, and they told a story of something that happened with them personally, and this person recorded it and then put it on WhatsApp, and it went viral so that I even got it. So we are going to play that story for you right now.
Hi, everyone. My name is Isaac Milstein. I'm from New York City. I'm here with Rabbi Potash, who I just met at Sabra Grill. I was telling him the story with Reb Tzimchai Mushka and her association with my mother, Rita Milstein, who's in a need of a refuah right now. Her name is Rivka Bastovaleya. Make the long story short, sometime in 1978, after my family migrated from Russia by way of Israel, we were living in Crown Heights. My mother was living with us and my father and my younger brother on Montgomery Street, 888 Montgomery Street in Crown Heights. She had a few jobs. One of her jobs was working at a wig store, a shetel store called Frida Wigs. One day the phone rings. My mother answers the phone. The person on the other end of the line is looking for the entrepreneur, Miss Frida Kugel, and she wasn't there. My mom responded to the person on the phone. So my mom asked, could I take a message? So she goes, sure, tell her it's Mrs. Schneerson that called. Tell her to call me back when she has a moment. At that point, my mom tells her, oh, what an honor to talk to you, Rebbetzin. I'll make sure to give her the message. Right before they were about to hang up the phone, the Rebbetzin tells my mom, I sense in your voice that something's wrong. Is everything okay? So at that point, my mom opens up and breaks down her. She tells her the story. We came here from Russia. And shortly after we came and arrived in the States, my mother, meaning my grandmother, her mother, came. And unfortunately, she was diagnosed with stage 4 ovarian cancer. And every doctor, the various doctors, gave their medical opinions that she had only a few more months to live, at most maybe a year, which is a very lethal cancer. It was back in 1978. And on top of that, my mom was struggling to make ends meet while supporting her two kids. So I believe at that point, after my mother opened up to the Rebbetzin, the conversation turned from an English conversation or Yiddish, I don't know which language she was talking to the Rebbetzin, they were speaking to each other in Russian. And she basically, to make the long story short, she gave her a blessing that everything will be fine, she'll get through it. So my grandmother, who the story happened to as far as her being diagnosed with stage 4 ovarian cancer, She had Arichas Yamim, and she ended up living till February 2001.
So, a pretty amazing story. You don't know what kind of blessing a person is going to get. That's going to do it for the Jewish Hour. If we can get some music behind me, please. We hope we had a chance to entertain you a bit. We hope we had a chance to educate you a bit. We hope you have a great week. This Tuesday is the fast of the 17th of Tammuz, and we hope that you have an easy fast. It's the beginning of the 3 weeks, and so we don't be, well, next week we won't be listening to live music, and people won't be getting married. It's the same like the time period between Passover and Shavuos, and this is really sad because we're commemorating the destruction of both temples, and we'll talk about that next week. Take care.